Hey guys, you're listening to Five Stages, and I am here with Johnny Craig.
What up?
We have been trying to do this interview for a little bit, so I know a lot of you guys have been waiting, and we are finally here. So we're going to just start off real quick with, we're going to talk a little bit about your previous bands. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of you being in this previous bands. So right away, let's talk about Dance Gavin Dance, because I feel like a lot of people know you mainly from that band. That's like what I've heard you from. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of people currently really want you back in that band.
Yeah.
What is your thought on that?
Being back in the band?
Yeah, like right now, like, because people are always saying.
Yeah. You know, I have mad love for those dudes. I have always, you know, had a lot of admiration for them, and I think if they asked me to be in the band, I would do it, but I'm not gonna go to them. You know, they mm-hmm. can come to me. I'm clean now. You know, I'm on top of my shit, and you know, if they want me, they can come to me.
Okay, and so what did you do in Dance Gavin Dance?
I sang.
Did you write at all?
Yeah, I wrote all of the melodies and the lyrics.
Okay, was it ever like a collaborative, or did you personally just write all the music?
They wrote
via lyrics.
Yeah, they wrote all, you know, all the music. They put all the stuff down, recorded it, and then I would just go in and do my parts.
Okay.
And then same with, you know, John Mess. He did the same thing. He would go in after I was done, and he would fill in his parts.
Okay, so what exactly, I mean, what happened with Dance Gavin Dance then? What is really the moral of the story there?
It's, you know, same thing. They were just kind of fed up. You know, I was on the road. We had been on the road for months and months and months. And, you know, I was taking lots of pills at that point. I wasn't in, like, crazy drugs yet. I was just taking a lot of pills. I was an asshole. I didn't care about anything, really. And they kind of got fed up with that. And I remember the night that I got kicked out. It was the Saints and Sinners Festival. I was upstairs. It was in like this arena type thing. So the whole top part was all the merch, and it went in like a circle. And then, you know, the stadium, you went down with the seats, and the stage was like right there, kind of in the middle-ish. And I remember being upstairs talking to like Silverstein, because we were on tour with them. And I was just talking to one of the members at their merch table, and I heard the intro for our set, and I was like, oh
my god,
shit. And so I just started running. Like, I jumped over the railing, was like hanging down, running down all these like seats, and I missed like, I don't know, like 20 seconds of the first song, you know. And I grabbed my mic and was fucking on there, and then after that, you know, they were just over it. And I remember in the van, and we had a merch dude, and he actually works now for Rise. He does a lot of stuff at Rise, and he was our merch guy at the time. And I just remember him talking shit to me, and I was just like, bro, I was like, get out of the front seat right now, and I'm going to whoop your ass if you say another word. And I remember our TM was like, not having that. And he just was like, you know, kind of got in my face, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm done. I quit. I took my bags. I went upstairs to the hotel room, and I remember I think I was with Tino from Of Mice and Men. I was with a couple friends of ours from San Diego. And I was with the owner of, I can't remember that label. I don't remember. One of his label owners was up there. And shady dude, real shady guy. And yeah, we just kind of hung out all night, whatever. I was taking pills. They text me in the morning, and they're like, hey, come down, you know, we want to have a talk. I was like, oh, great, you know, whatever. I was like, fine, I'll come down and talk to you. I literally went down, and I got into the van seat, because there was, like, one spot open, you know, right on the end. I sit down, and then immediately they, like, shove me out of the van.
Oh my God.
And they start, like, punching me and, like, kicking me. And I was like, whatever. I kind of accepted it, and I just kind of covered my head. I was like, I'm just not going to let them hit me in the head. And I remember them just kind of, like, kicked me in the back, like, two or three times. And then they just were like, don't ever come back to California. And then they just drove off in the van.
So the band just decided to beat the shit out of you in retaliation?
Pretty much. Yeah. They were over it, and they just kind of, you know.
How old were you?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Like 21, 22. Maybe somewhere around the area. Don't quote me on that, but somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay. And then, so after Dance Gavin Dance, you went to Amorosa.
Yeah, so they stranded me in New Jersey. You know, I didn't have anything but my suitcase. And at that point, like, where I was living in California, I was kind of just living with them, you know, just bouncing back and forth. So it wasn't like I had a home or anything. I was stranded. A Skylet Drive was there. They picked me up. And they were like, you know, we'll figure it out, whatever. I was on the phone with Rise a bunch. And they were like, hey, you can either start your solo stuff like you've been talking about, or I have this band in Kentucky and you can go and check them out. You know, I'll pay for it, whatever. And if you don't like it, you can leave. And I went there and they played me some of the music. And I just remember like being like, yeah, we're not going to do all that. And we kind of just had a big conversation as a band. And yeah, I just stayed with them. I think I was there for like 3 years before we even like started to tour, really. Something like that, like 2 years.
So you get stranded.
I got stranded and I just went straight to Kentucky, met people I've never met in my life, and just started a whole new project.
That's insane. What was your experience like in Kentucky with the boys?
It was weird. You know, I've always been a wild person, and they were all very sheltered, you know, very, very polite gentlemen, you know. They all love their mom and their dads and, you know, that type of vibe. It was real family-oriented people, you know, so it was different for me because I wasn't really connected with my family at the time, and it was weird. But, you know, when I got there, I stopped doing drugs, and, yeah, it was great for the beginning, and then, you know, we went on tour, and then shit started again. But the experience was great.
So what did they sound like before? Like, what made you go, no, we ain't doing this?
It was just very, like, metalcore, like, Under Oath-ish sounding, you know? And I don't scream.
Mm-hmm.
And their last previous singer was a screamer. So I told him, you know, hey, I can't do any of that. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to have me be a part of this project, we need to figure out a way for that to work. You know, I want to be able to sing over stuff, not sing over breakdowns.
So, and then Amorosa kind of ended because of the drug addiction again and doing things?
Yep. Amorosa kind of ended because of the whole MacBook thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was. I know you're ready for that.
I'm so excited for it. I'm so excited. I think that when I posted about our interview, it was 95% of people just asking like legitimate, really great, positive questions, and then 5% of people being like, "Where's my MacBook?"
I don't know.
So
I don't know. You're never gonna get it.
So you were in that band while you were.
I was.
And because you were still signed with Rise.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So yeah. Now that's coming together. All right. So Amorosa, you end up.
So we're not on tour at the moment.
Okay.
I'm at home using a lot of drugs. You know, and I would call Rise when I didn't have money and they would just send me money like all the time. And finally they were like, hey, we have to cut you off. We are enabling you. We don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, at that point, I'm like stuck. I'm like, what am I going to do now? I have like a, you know, $800 pill habit a day. You know, like, you know, I'm shooting like 30 pills
mm-hmm.
in like a day, in a span of a day. And I was like stuck. So I'm like, okay, you know, first thing we do as addicts and shit, we start to think about we're going to sell our things, you know. So I'm looking at all my stuff. I got a computer. I post, you know, on my Twitter, I believe, and immediately got like 30 emails. Like, so I went to the first dude, you know, first email. I was like, okay, cool. Hey, I got it. And, you know, he said it MoneyGram, yada, yada, yada. And he sent the money immediately. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I didn't even send the computer out yet. And it just clicked in my head, and I was like, whoa. And, yeah, I did that about 30 more times. And I think it was like $31,000 or something was the amount. And so what happened was I went on tour, you know, while all this started. And I'm starting to get these messages from people like, hey, you know, it's been like 2-3 weeks. I haven't got a computer. I'm like, oh, you know, don't worry. I sent it out. I'll check on it. Sorry, I'm on tour. I'm busy. And then all these people started connecting with each other.
And this is one computer that you're supposed to be
selling. Yeah, it's one computer. It is a real computer. The computer is real. It was real. And I did have the intention of sending it out. I just want to say that. But, yeah, my addiction didn't let that happen. But anyway.
So they all connected.
So they start connecting online. They know they get in this little group and they start talking like, wait, I bought the computer. Oh, no, I bought the computer. And it just started blowing up while we're on tour. And so my band's like looking at me like, hey, is this stuff true? And I'm like, nah. I'm just sitting there in the band like, nah.
Nah, that ain't me.
I had no idea what to do. And I remember we were in Orlando, I believe, and we went to meet with I'm not going to say some names, but we went to meet with a management label. You know, they had some really big bands. And the guy was sitting there talking to me. Well, he's talking to all of us, but he's looking directly at me. And he's telling me a story of how, you know, him and his partner that split, they had a company before and they managed Creed. And so this guy's telling me the story about the guy Creed, you know, took the pill and passed out on stage in front of like 40,000 fans. And he's like looking at me, telling me the story, you know, like, I'm like, oh, shit, like this guy, he knows. This guy knows something. Like, why is he looking right at me only? Like, and so he met with this guy, and, you know, he's like, you know, you got to get your shit straight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. And then it just really blew up the next day. And so the solution was send me to rehab. And they sent me to rehab, and I was like, I knew I wasn't ever going to play in the band again. Like, I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all like, yeah, just get help, and you can come back. And I'm not dumb. So I just remember being in the hotel room and I was just like, just let me play one more show, you know, and then you can send me to the rehab. And so they let me play the last show and it sucked. I really loved playing that music. I loved Amorosa. So I'm glad that they gave me the opportunity to play one last show because I knew that they weren't going to have me back. So I went to rehab, you know, I got help, did all that. And
where were you getting help at?
L.A., a place called Cry Help.
Okay. So how were you in Kentucky during this time, but now all of a sudden you're in L.A. doing?
Oh, we were on something. The MacBooks have started before we went on a tour.
Got it.
And then we ended up on the tour when everything blew up. You know, like 3 weeks later, I'm on the tour and people are realizing there's no computer. And then it blew up, and so then they sent me to L.A. to get help.
Okay. And then when you got out... They were just...
I went back to, like, Sacramento, and, you know, I believe, like, at one point, you know, all this stuff's kind of hazy, but I believe I started to, like, work with dance again.
Okay.
A little bit. And I remember, like, Amorosa calling me and just being, like, it was ER who called me, and he says, hey, you know, I think we're going to let you go. And I was like... He's like, and they said, are you okay with that? And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I remember just hanging up the phone. So I don't know if maybe they wanted more of a response from me, probably, but I just kind of brushed it off and was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm living in a hotel room, you know, going back into drugs. So I was like, yeah, whatever.
So fresh out of rehab, in a hotel. A
couple months clean. Then I'm living in hotel rooms. I had nowhere to live. I have, you know, nowhere to go.
Okay. And then, so when you got back with Gavin Dance, because you did get back with them one more time.
Yeah.
That ended because?
It was just the same thing.
Just the same shit.
I went right back into the drugs and, you know, I tell the story a lot, honestly, you know, recording like Downtown Battle Mountain 2, like I don't remember recording half of that album. Like I'll listen to that stuff. I remember like getting it back. You know, on the drive home, and I'm like, I finished that song? Like, what? I did that? Like, and honestly, I was so you know, fucked up. I really don't remember recording half of that CD. And that's super sad, because that's a great album.
So, I just want to say it just for the record, so people, like, you know, you were in Isles and Glaciers?
It was just like a side project.
Just
thing.
A little side project.
Yeah, it wasn't like a full band. I can go into that if you want. It's pretty.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty simple.
You were fucking recording with Craig Owens?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could sort of call it that.
Well, then, yes, please dive in.
Okay, so me and Craig, we had the idea. We played a show in Kentucky. He was there randomly. He played a show, and I was in Amorosa, and he played a show. And he was like, hey, I remember we were sitting there drinking like a 30-pack together just outside on the side of the building, just getting drunk together. First time we ever met. And he's like, hey, we should start a project. I said, okay, I'm going to bring Mike and Vic from Pierce the Veil. And he's like, okay, I'm going to bring so-and-so from, you know, Receiving End of Sirens, and I'm going to bring, you know, my bass player and whatnot. So cool. So we set a date, have all these plans. We're meeting in Seattle, Washington to record with Casey Bates, right? And so I fly in. I have a week because I have to go on a tour. So I don't have a lot of time. So me and Vic, you know, get to work immediately. We get down to you know, to what we do. And I remember Craig being like, okay, you know, don't write any of the vocals. And he was here, you know, he was in Seattle. He got a rental car from Rise. And he had his girlfriend. And they were, like, sightseeing the whole time. And, you know, me and Vic were like, well, fuck that. You know, we're gonna do our job. So we wrote, you know, we wrote the stuff. We wrote our vocal parts and did what we had to do. And, you know, he was upset about it because, I don't know, maybe there wasn't a lot of parts for him or something. I thought the album turned out great, so I don't know why he had, you know, any problems. But, yeah, he showed up the last day before I flew out and was just kind of upset that we had done what we did.
What was he expecting you guys to do for the 6 days?
I don't know, but I was definitely going to do my job because, high or not, that's what I do.
So then, did it come out?
Yeah, the album came out, and you know, we played like one show, and it was like a random. We had never played before, never practiced, nothing. So it was like, for me, it was real rough. And I remember it was during like South by Southwest, and they're like, "Hey, we're meeting right here, right now." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I walk up, and I'm wearing like basketball shorts and like a white tee from like Walmart. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. You said me right here. They're like, we're doing a photo shoot. And I'm like, fuck me. So if you look at that photo shoot, you can see I'm wearing like basketball shorts and like a tank top.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You actually did the shoot?
I didn't have a choice.
I'm fucking dying. That's hilarious.
And then we played a show and I'm wearing the same shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck me, dude. So that was it. That was Owls and Glaciers. None of us really talk.
Damn.
And that's about it, yeah. I mean, it's cool. I would play another show. It was fun. I got no problems with Craig whatsoever. I love Vic.
Obviously, Craig just wanted to do his own thing. So, I guess, like, another, like, really big feedback I get when, like, I mention your name at all is the band Slaves.
Slaves, yep.
And that's kind of, I think, the number one thing that people want to know is, like, will it ever be again?
Yes. As of right now, I have a single, and I'm going to continue to use it under the Slaves name. And a lot of people will give me a lot of shit about it and think I should change it. Well, it's not PC enough or whatever. And, you know, they're like, they want to act like it's has something to do with like racism and stuff. And I try to explain to them that, you know, the meaning of this name, Slaves, is because, you know, I've been a slave to drugs for, I don't, probably since I was like 13 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. And it means something to me to have that name. So regardless of how people feel or what the fuck they think, I'm going to continue to put some music out under that name. Now, I might just do an album and then wrap that up and maybe start something else. But I want to at least give some people like one more album. So I'm going to release a single, and I don't have a date for it or anything like that, but we are working on it. And, you know, if people like it, then we'll go from there.
So are you working with original members?
Not at all.
This is just you?
Yeah, this is just me right now. They're all doing their own thing. Rain City Drive, they're doing an amazing job. I love those dudes to death. Yeah, but right now it's just me working with Devin from Sunsleep at the moment.
So you've been doing your own stuff for a while. And how long have you been clean?
On the 18th, it'll be 1 year and 1 month.
Okay. So with you working on music now, being clean.
Yep.
And back when you wrote music, when you were using, what is the biggest difference you're noticing?
Definitely like a little bit of a confidence level for sure. You know, you go in there high and I don't give a fuck. You know, I went in there and just did what I had to do and I enjoyed it, you know, every second of it because I didn't care, you know, it was me and, you know, nobody could tell me, hey, that, you know, maybe that didn't sound right or whatever. Like I just did what I wanted to do and then I'm done. Now I'm taking a little bit more direction. I'm listening to people more, and sometimes that can be a good thing, and sometimes that, you know, can really, you know, fuck with your mentality a little bit because...
Constructive criticism sucks.
It is. It really does. It is something that, you know, is a struggle, but, you know, it's... You get over it. It's... You work through it. This is what I do. This is what I love, so I'm just gonna do it, even if it's a little uncomfortable at moments now. I'm still just gonna... do what I do and just get in there.
So you're like more aware of your surroundings and have like some feelings now.
A little bit, yeah.
Not so numbed out.
A little bit more empathy, I guess.
Yeah. So I honestly fucking hate the question, like, what's your biggest inspiration? Because I think it's just so cliche and I hate it. But I'm curious on where you got your writing from when you weren't sober. Versus where you're getting your writing from being sober. And, you know, I would like to point out that I know that you're so much more than, like, your addiction. Like, I've known you a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And I already know that.
I appreciate that.
But the biggest thing is, like, in all reality, all these years that you were in these bands, that's what was going on, is you were going through a lot of, like, your addiction ups and downs. So a lot of, like, your writing was when you were under the influence. And so, and I don't see you... Like, I don't see you relapsing. Yeah. So for me, that's why I'm curious. Like, what is so different now? What were you writing about then? What are you writing about now?
I've always just, you know, my music especially is, it's all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even going through those addiction struggles, I was still in relationships and, you know, in and out of problems, stuff like that. So that was usually my inspiration was I'd go through, you know, being with someone for a long time and then, you know, they couldn't handle my shit. They couldn't put up with my drug use or whatever. And then, you know, I'd write about it. Now that I'm sober, you know, I'm still going through the same things,
mm-hmm.
still having relationship problems and stuff like that. But I feel like it's a little bit more in depth now. You know, it's more like I have to really pinpoint what I want to write about. Like I have to say, okay, this is important. This is not really that important. Like, it just, you know, it's all mental now. Before, it was just like off the top of the dome. I'm going to do it. Don't care.
Yeah.
And it was all just pure feeling. Now it's kind of both, but I'm just putting a little bit more thought process into it.
So, this is just kind of an example so you can understand the question I'm trying to ask. So, like, it came out recently that they think, like, you know, the docs think that I might have, like, ADHD, and they were thinking about putting me on a med to help me focus, right?
You said the doctors?
Yeah, the doctors.
Oh, I was like...
And I think that, like, so with my job, I have to multitask, which includes listening to, like, three different audios at once while, you know, physically doing things, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't really want to, like, fuck with medication because I'm worried that it's going to... I think the one of the reasons why I'm good at my job is because my mind is always running, right? And that's why I'm able to like multitask, and I don't want to take anything that could possibly make me like one track minded.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, was there ever a hesitation to get clean because you thought it might affect your music?
Oh, I mean,
or
I was worried, you know, getting clean, I wouldn't be able to do what I've been doing. It was a little scary. I think the first time I was actually got on stage was, you know, with A Foreign Affair, being actually like clean. And then once I did that, I was like, I can do this easily. You know, I thought for a second, like, oh shit, what if I can't sing or hit the notes, or what if it doesn't sound the same? What if I, you know, but once I did it, I was just like, okay, that's easy. That's it.
So, like, I mean, truly, your addiction did not, you know, identify like your music. It didn't make your music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I thought it did for a long time, but then I realized like I had the talent before the addiction. So where was the disconnect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did I start thinking, damn, this is all just the drugs. I can't do without the drugs. Then I realized that's not a thing, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And so when talking about Slaves and your current projects and stuff, I love looking at people's Wikipedia pages. We all know that they're not always 100%.
Yeah.
I love this shit so much.
I've read a lot of it and it's wrong, so I can't wait to dive in.
I think my favorite thing about today, like, I think my favorite moment was printing out your Wikipedia page and handing it to you. And just being like, tell me what is true here.
I'm like, damn it, I've seen this before. Why have I read my own Wikipedia?
Did you...
I doxed myself. I'm like,
I feel like, did you see the picture that's on
here? I did.
That was it's an interesting. How old were you in that photo? Do you know?
Let me see it.
I feel like it's not a recent photo.
It's the one from like the Knitting Factory.
Look at that. You have a mullet?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I'm growing it back right now, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Here you
we're
go.
We're on the come up, baby. We're on the come up.
I feel like I can only tell my age in photos by like what tattoos I have. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't have those tattoos. Now I do.
Yeah, this was like the beginning. This was Amorosa for sure. It was when the SD hat. It means I was hanging out with Pierce DeVille. So that was like, yeah, that was the very beginning. Probably like.
Is it like surreal to look at your picture on a Wikipedia page and just be like, oh, yeah, that's.
I don't know.
That's me.
Is Wikipedia like really that big of a thing?
You know what? Unfortunately, a lot of people use it to reference.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go off of that to find more credible back up the information.
But anyone can write anything. I can go on Wikipedia right now and just write some bullshit about myself. And
you can.
That's not cool.
100%.
Anyone can write anything.
So while I was actually looking up stuff, right? So like I said, you use the Wikipedia to find like maybe your content. And then you go and try and find a credible source.
Mm.
That's what you do,
okay.
Right? So, yeah. Like, this is where you get the bullet points. Now try and go find, like, the real story.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of even just individuals just writing stories about you. I don't even know if you know any of these individuals.
No.
That were writing stories about you. And I just kind of find that crazy. So,
people will think they know me.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, I don't even know where that guy was located that I saw. Like, it was like a, I don't know, like a blog of some kind. I was like, the fuck? You got nothing better to do than just write about some dude? Like, yeah, okay. That's fine. So,
some of these people have no life,
so,
unfortunately.
Real quick, just before I get to the nitty-gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Another common question that people just want to know is like about how you overcame your addiction, how you are currently on the road to recovery. I think a lot of people struggle with it, and I think a lot of people just kind of want to know what your take, how it happened for you.
Yeah. You know, I can't. There's a couple things that I would love to talk about in the beginning of this section story, but I just can't right now legally. So I'll kind of skip all that, but I will say, you know, a lot of me getting clean right now is me, you know, losing my son. That was big for me. I can't really go into that because,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to court and stuff like that, but that's what kind of started the process. You know, pretty much they just said, you know, you got 2 months to show us something, you know, or we're going to adopt your son out. And that was kind of it for me. I, you know, called my counselor and I said, hey, I need to go to inpatients. They wanted to just put me in outpatient. And I was like, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have too much freedom. You know, classes on Zoom, especially because it was through COVID. So I'm just sitting there high on these classes.
Yeah.
And I just called them and said, hey, I need to go into a place. And that was on Friday. And he had someone pick me up on Sunday night. And I went to rehab. Probably the worst place I've ever been in my life. Saved my life, but it was just horrible, horrible place. And that's just what I needed. You know, I needed to feel that bottom. And I just was miserable the whole time. I was so tired of feeling that way. I mean, I went through withdrawals for like 30 days,
mm-hmm.
you know, off fentanyl. I went in there and they told me, you know, you have to drug test when you go in. They said, you know, we've never seen this high levels of fentanyl in a living human being. Like, we've never seen that. And I've had the highest, you know, fentanyl level they've ever seen in Sacramento County. And I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it took me 30 days to withdraw, and I was just miserable. You know, you go in there and you start off at this, excuse me, you start off this like this structure. You know, you move in, you got a room with four people. And then from there, you know, you work your way up, and then you're in a room with just you and another dude. And then, you know, you can work your way up into like this leadership program where you have your own room. And I worked my way all the way to the top. You know, I was at the top of the house. And in there, it's kind of weird. It's like you work on this structure and you're like working hard to get to the spot so you can have your own room. And I don't know, just something in all that just clicked in me where like I just realized like I can't ever come back to a place like this. Like I can't be fucking cleaning a restroom at 6 a.m. I can't be mopping, you know, a toilet where someone just peed all over the ground and shit. Like I realized that I can't come back to this place. And you know, the things that brought me there, I had to pinpoint them. I had to figure out like, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. So what can I do? What is this problem? Why do I keep going back to it? And I had to deal a lot with it. And you know, it ended up being, I just been dealing with a lot of grief. That's what kept me using for like years and years. And, you know, getting clean is not just like stopping drugs. You know, it's not just stopping drinking alcohol. There's more to it. You know, I had to deal with a lot of stuff internally, and that was, you know, it was something I didn't want to deal with. It took me 11 years to even be able to work up to saying, okay, I'm done using drugs. Here's the problem. I need to address it. And once I did address it, I realized that it wasn't as hard as I was making it, you know, and now I have a year clean. I've never had a year clean since I was like 13 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, starting to smoke weed and drink with my sister and shit. And this is the longest I've ever had a clean in my life. And I'm 36 years old now. And it's wild to me to just be able to feel these emotions. You know, I pushed them down for so long and blocked them. I didn't want to deal with anything at all, you know. And now I'm dealing with this stuff like slowly. You know, I got the therapist or whatever, and we talk. She's a nice lady. You know, she just helps me kind of work through things slowly, because I feel like as addicts, like we try to jump from, you know, from A, we try to go to B first before we even finish what A is. And that's what kind of stops us most of the time. Is like, we're just such in a rush to be like, okay, I'm going to be sober. I'm going to prove everyone wrong. I'm going to do this. And you don't take the time to actually work on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest part, is you got to slow down. You got to slow down and realize like, you know, it's going to take some time, but in the end, you're going to have everything you want. And at first that was cheesy, because everyone's like, get clean. Everything will come your way. All these great things will start coming to you. Money and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit. Like, you're going to tell me all I got to do is get clean and what? Then I'm going to be fucking, I'm going to reach the lame, you know, the famous level that I want to be at. Or, you know, I'm going to get all this money. Like, the fuck out of here. But I did it. And, you know, good things have started to come my way, and I hate how cheesy it is. I hate it. I absolutely hate how cheesy it is, but here we are, you know?
So, again, like I said, I don't love having to sit here and, like, talk to you about your addiction, because I know that you're a lot more than that.
Yeah.
But because of just, like, the years and the headlines and the rumors, you know, this is kind of where we're at. And hopefully people can start moving on as much as you are from it. But it appears that not everyone is moving on from everything. So one of the biggest setbacks currently for you, right, because this is still kind of a current thing going on for you, is some allegations that have come your way.
Yes, ma'am.
And they're still affecting you to this day.
yeah, I mean, in a sense, you know, they're obviously causing a little bit of a ruckus in what I'm trying to do.
So, let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about, like, these accusations. Why don't you just dive in? I'm here to listen. Let's just figure out what it is. There's a couple things that we have from, I think, back in 2016?
I don't know dates.
2019.
What do we got?
Let's see here. Let me see which one that.
I like it. I love that's like labeled controversies.
That was like my favorite
and
thing.
And it's like six paragraphs.
And it's just like, let's
God
just
damn it, Wikipedia.
Let's just keep going. Okay, so that's just about your. Okay, seriously, like, why do you have such a long Wikipedia page? This is so stupid. Okay.
I've been doing this for like 12 years.
I'm sorry, you're right, but I thought maybe someone could condense it.
No.
Right? Okay, so 2015, Slaves, Warped Tour.
Oh my God. This the silliest shit on the planet. I don't even know why it says sexual allegation. There was no sexual anything. You know, at that point, we got booted off the Warped Tour. Apparently, we signed or didn't sign. I mean, we apparently had a vocal contract to not use or drink with Dave Shapiro, who was our booking agent, and Kevin Lineman, you know, the owner of Warped Tour. And none of us said that at all. I wasn't using at the time. I wasn't using any drugs. You know, we were drinking. And the thing that cracks me up the most is, you know, you're on Warped Tour. Everybody knows this if you've ever been on Warped Tour. In the morning, you go and you pick up your water and your beer. And they gave us a case of beer every day. We were on there for 3 days before they kicked off. They gave us the case of beer. Of course I'm going to fucking drink that shit. You know, come on now.
Like, did they want you to build a fort with it? Like, what are they expecting?
I did. That's the part I never understood. It's like, we weren't supposed to drink, but then you're going to hand us out alcohol? Like, and then I guess their argument was, you didn't have to take it. The fuck? Who's not going to take free beer? Get out of here. Come on now. But anyway, so they had a vote or something, and they had, like, posted this big-ass thing, and we had a merch girl, and she was on the tour with us. She never toured. She did one tour, and she toured with Color Morale, and I don't know if you know the Color Morale. Those are the nicest, most respectable dude you will ever meet, okay? Then she comes on tour with us, Slaves, and we got me, and then we got Alex Lyman. Okay, and he's also just a fucking train wreck. And, you know, we're us. We're driving, we're drinking, getting drunk. I'm in my underwear, and the music bumping. You know, we're in the Sprinter with all the bunks. We've never been in a Sprinter with bunks and shit. We had the music was playing in the leather couch, and you know, I put my leg up on the couch and I'm doing the fucking twerk thing. You know, and it was next to her head, and you know, she said, There was no sexual harassment, nothing like that. She was just uncomfortable in the situation. And I understand that. I get it. You know, she's never been around anybody like us before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was. And apparently he posted something about, you know, the sexual harassment and all that on, you know, backstage for all the people to read. And it was on the same tour that Front Porch Step Kid got kicked off for all that really weird, sus-ass shit. And so I think Kevin Lineman was just kind of covering his ass when he posted that. But yeah, there was no sexual harassment. She stood up in front of everyone on the Warped Tour and said that. She was just uncomfortable. And, she, you know, she just wanted me to get help.
Mm-hmm.
So we stood in front of the whole Warped Tour. I got to say my little speech or whatever, let them know, like, hey, you know, I want to be here. I need to be here. If you send me home, it's going to be worse. And they weren't having it. They all were just like, you need to go home. You need to get help. My friend's this, my friend's that. One of the biggest advocates, I'll say, I want to use a different word, but I'm not going to. Is a buddy from Census Vale. He was just so adamant about us not being on the tour. And we'd never met that dude in my life. But he was just like...
Someone from Census Vale?
The singer. He was just like the... It felt like he was like the ringleader of like, you know, just... You need to go home and you got to get help. And it's just like... I was like, bro, I was like, I'm not even high right now. Like, this is such a trip. You're all telling me, like, I need to go home and get help for drugs. And I wasn't even using it at that time. All we did was drink some beer. So I thought that it was extremely silly. And it was funny because we ended up actually thanking Buddy in our thanks on the CD booklet. Just for out of, like, sarcasm. Out of sarcasm, we actually thanked him in the thank yous.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why. I don't know what we were thanking him for, but it's just, it literally says, thank you, Buddy Nelson.
I love that. So in 2017, numerous ex-girlfriends accused you of sexual assault.
Yes.
Which...
And I didn't read all of it in, like, detail, because who's going to read all that? I didn't read it, so I don't know, like, the exact implications and stuff, but I know that, you know, they all said that, yeah, I raped them. You know, they all said stuff like that along those lines, that I forced them to have sex with me. And, you know, I will say this. I will completely admit... You know, take accountability for just my parts in those toxic relationships. I was horrible. But at the same time, like, I'm not blaming anyone. I was high.
Mm-hmm.
They knew I was high. They knew I was using. They knew that I was an addict before we started dating. No, I'm not going to be Prince Charming.
So why don't you just real quick clarify, and you don't have to, like, get into hella detail, but, yeah. Like, just quick clarify, like, because you said you're taking accountability for, like, the horrible things you did.
Yeah.
So just, like, quick clarify the horrible things you did. Like I said, you don't got to get into detail.
The main thing is, you know, what obviously upset them the most is I would just leave. I'd just pick up my shit and say, fuck you, I'm out. And I would just leave them. And I would be, like, instantly, like, done. You know, I wouldn't talk to them, wouldn't care. I'd move on, and I'd start dating someone else. And that was the case with two of them. I moved on from one to this other one, you know, and then I was kind of doing them both at the same time.
Okay.
And they found out about that. And then obviously I have another ex from a long time ago, and she, I don't know what her problem is. I don't know why she will not let go. I'm not going to name names because we're not doing that. But she just won't give up. And somehow, you know, she talked them into saying these things. And the funny part is like, I'm not mad about it. You know, like, I understand why. But the horrible thing to me is, and I don't give a fuck if this sounds like, you know, cliche or whatever. That's not really something that you throw around.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put rape on someone's name. Like, there are actually people out there that actually suffer that nightmare. And you're going to sit there and tell me, you know, you're going to put that on my name because, you know, I cheated on you guys, or, you know, I've just up and left and just didn't want to deal with you anymore. Like, I feel like that is just a little unfair, but I can't be upset with them, you know, for what they did. Obviously they were hurt, and this is what they did. You know, this is how they dealt with it. But it's not like they can just recant it. You know, they can be getting a lot of trouble for that. So I just feel like we're kind of just like stuck in the middle a little bit with it.
So in 2019, you were accused of sexual assault and domestic violence from an ex.
Yeah, I've never hit anyone in my life. I actually have. This is silly too. I have a domestic battery charge right now because of me and the mother of my child. I'm not going to talk bad about her at all. Like I said, it's the mother of my child. But I will say, you know, when she was upset with me for like using and leaving and stuff, she would break my things.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, you know, in a little argument. I'm about to fly out to Arizona. I got all my stuff packed and she has broken my PlayStation a couple times. So I went to take my PlayStation and, you know, she got upset, whatever, started screaming. And without thinking, I shoved her. And immediately she starts screaming. Her mom comes out. Boom. I go to jail. I have a domestic battery charge. That is as close as I've ever come.
How do you get a domestic battery charge?
I have in California, when a domestic disturbance is called, it doesn't matter who it is, but someone has to go to jail.
Okay.
That's the law. So it doesn't matter if it's the woman or the man.
Someone's got to go.
When a domestic battery or domestic violence or something like that is called in, somebody has to be taken to jail. So I was charged with domestic battery for pushing her. And, you know, she came to my court date and she talked to the judge and they let me out. It was misunderstanding, all that. But regardless, I shouldn't have pushed her. You shouldn't put your hands on a woman like that. But that is the closest I've ever come to ever hitting a woman.
So I guess, like, what is it that you do now with these allegations? You know, they've been said. People do remember them.
Yeah.
They might still be currently talking about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you're a year plus sober.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of cool things coming up. Yeah. So what is it that you... Do you feel like you have to redeem yourself, even though obviously, like, you know, these are accusations,
I don't.
Right? Like, so I'm not saying that they're true and I'm not saying, you know, nothing exactly like that. But like, so are you feeling like you're still on this like road to redeem yourself? Do you feel like you have to be watching what you do and what you say and how you act?
Absolutely not. That's one thing I'm not going to do. I think that's what they have tried to force me to try to do, you know, is try to be. Whatever, you know, they want to hold me back a little bit. And I think that it's not going to happen. You know, you're talking about me being on a road to redemption and I have all these things coming up, tours and shows and whatnot. And it has been kind of a difficult time, affected me a little bit when it comes to stuff like that. But.
Well, I think that you shouldn't have to change how you act. If you're saying that you didn't do this stuff, then really you don't have to change or act anyway, because I mean, just be you and you will continue to not do the things that they claimed you did.
Exactly. Well, the one thing is like, I sleep fine at night.
Mm-hmm.
My conscience is clear. And so it's not that I don't care about, you know, that I hurt them and stuff like that, but
hurt them in other ways.
Yeah. Like I said, I was not a very good boyfriend. You know, and I take accountability for that, and I apologize. You know, I cheated on them, and I was high, you know, and I know that's not an excuse. You know, using drugs is not an excuse to do shitty things, but I was not in the right mindset, and I didn't care about your feelings, you know what I'm saying? So I'm with this girl right here, and I'm dating you over here, but my mind isn't like, oh, I'm going to hurt her. I probably shouldn't do that.
Well, and this whole time we've been talking, you said, like, the entire time you were using, you didn't even care about your own feelings.
Right.
You didn't care about anyone's feelings. It was nothing personal. There was no, you all fell into the same boat of.
the idea of using, really, the ideal is just you're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You only care about yourself.
Yeah.
So my, you know, I apologize for that. I can't do anything about it. I can't go back and change the past. I can't go back and not cheat on them. I can't go back and not leave them. You know, I can't go back and just move out of the apartments and stuff like that. I can't. I can't take any of it back. But like I said, I take accountability for the you know, the mean things that I said, you know, the horrible things I would say. I take accountability for that. I hear what they're saying and what I did wrong, and I hear that. But you're not going to put fucking rape on my name. I'm sorry. You're just not going to do it.
And I asked you this earlier when we weren't recording, but I wanted to ask you, like, while we're recording. I just want to know why and how, like, you don't give up. So, like, okay, so I'm going to just break it down, right? Because I really want people to understand, like, honestly, like, how strong you are, because I'm so jealous of your strength. Like, I just love this so much. Like, okay, so we talked about, what, 4 bands?
Yeah.
And you were, I mean, you've been kicked out of 4 bands.
Yeah.
You know, you fucked up a lot. You were kicked off of Warped Tour. You've been dropped from a lot of labels.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got all these allegations that were just piling up, you know, from numerous people because you were a shitty boyfriend. And
don't date me.
Don't, please, you guys, stop. Just stop dating Johnny Craig.
Let me work on myself.
Just give him a minute. Fuck. Yeah,
I need to work on myself before I do any more dating.
So, but you're going on tour in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And you just got back from a tour, like, what, a month ago? Two months ago?
Mm-hmm, a couple shows. I wouldn't really call them that one a tour. It was just like 4 or 5 shows.
And just not in California.
Yeah, and then we flew. You flew.
You know, I mean, it's a little baby tour.
Okay, all right.
A little baby tour.
Baby tour.
Now you're going on an East Coast tour.
Yeah, nine shows. Yep.
And, I mean, I just feel like that's such an accomplishment. When, I mean, I'm just saying, I feel like a lot of this would just this would annihilate people. This would be like, I'm not welcomed in the public eye. I don't work well with others, according to everyone else. Like, I've been dropped from all this.
Yeah.
How can I reach where I want to reach? But yeah, you're still doing it. So, I mean, why? How?
Music. Music is why. My mentality has always been, you know, whether I'm fucked up or not, I've always done my job. I've always gone in there. I've always been on the tours, you know, out of all the times, you know. I've been in every band. I've never missed shows, nothing like that. You know,
just 20 seconds of one. You guys, get over it.
Hey, that was, I made the song.
That's what I'm saying.
It was the intro.
I'm on your side.
It was the intro, but I get it. I should have been right there. I should have been paying attention. But out of all that shit, I've always done my job. I've always showed up, recorded, high, doesn't matter, drunk. I've always done my job, except for the slave thing where I didn't show up.
For Europe.
Yeah. Music, it's just... It is me. My mentality is, I don't know. I don't have it in me to give up. I just don't. You know, I sit there and think sometimes when I'm at home, like, should I keep doing this? Should I, you know? But then I think, what am I gonna do? You know, I love what I am. I love who I am, and I love music. So it's like, what am I gonna do? Go and be a race car driver? A little joke for Alex over here. But you know, I don't have it in me to give up. I really don't. So I don't really care. You can say I'm canceled or whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to continue to do what I love. I'm going to continue to work with people that understand that. And I'm, you know, if you don't want to work with me, you don't want to be on my team, then I'm going to go and I'm going to build a new team. I'm going to build people that want to be around me. I'm going to do what I was meant to do. And that's, you know, show people the talent that I have.
So I think that there's, like, a huge difference between, like, people who make music and then, like, artists, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I think you got to ask yourself at the end of the day, why are you making music, right? So I feel like some people make a band to look cool.
Yeah.
Maybe they do a band because they want to get rich and famous,
and they don't look cool.
And they want a mansion and all this crap, right?
Yeah.
And so I just think that, like, the biggest thing that people should take away, with talking to you is that you might not reach the level of fame that you once thought you were going to because of this stuff.
Yeah.
And you're still doing it because you're an artist.
Yeah.
Music is what you were born to do, and it's what you're going to do. So if anything, like, people should just understand that, like, they should listen. They should listen to your music, and they should understand that, like, this is not for anything other than, like, this is what you do.
Yeah. I think people need to realize, like, I'm just a normal person. You know, you sit over here and you talk about this, like, stack of papers and all these problems and these controversies and all that. And what cracks me up the most is, like, I'm not any different from any normal person. You know, you go talk to any addict and they got stories for days. They got, you know, they can make pages too. The only problem is, you know, people know who I am. So every little thing that happens, you know, it's in your eye. You know, they see it. And that's the only difference is, like, I'm just a normal dude with an addiction, you know, and I love singing and I'm going to continue to sing. I just wish people would understand, like, I'm not any different. You know, I don't understand why, you know, they want, because all of a sudden, you know, I have this talent. They think I got, oh man, that guy's going to be a role model. He's got it. He has to do it. He has to show people the way. And you know, I would love to do that. But unfortunately, I am singing and making music to keep myself alive. You know, and I'm glad I'm helping people along the way. I'm glad people connect with that. But they have to understand that what I'm doing, my, you know, this thing that I love, I'm doing it so that I, you know, can get my feelings out, so that I can get, you know, some relief from the things that are on my mind daily and stuff. They got to realize I'm just a normal person.
Well, you know? And I totally agree with that. That's what I think is just, like, really shitty once you kind of hit this level of fame, if you will. Like, I mean, that's the price to pay, is now everyone is looking at you, and then every little thing you did wrong.
Yeah.
But every person who judges you off of what you did wrong, they probably did the same thing or know someone who did the same thing, and they're not getting
exactly
all that flack.
They've done a lot of stuff, and I get it. You know, I'm supposed to be this guy, you know, but unfortunately, I'm not going to change. I don't want to be fake, you know, but obviously I want to be a better person. I'm going to work on that daily.
Well, I think that's the whole thing, though, is there's the difference right there. OK, there's Johnny Craig on drugs and then there's Johnny Craig. OK, Johnny Craig on drugs, like, don't be his friend, man. Like, it's you know, it may not work out. It's not his fault. He don't care about you. That's what's going on.
I care about myself.
Exactly. But Johnny Craig, that's a different person. And so, like, it's, you know, I appreciate that, like, you're bettering yourself and stuff like that. But in reality, it's not necessarily even just bettering yourself. It's just fixing some things that are broken, because you are, you know, you're great. You're kind. You're super polite. You're super fun to be around.
Yeah. Thank you.
And when I speak about you, I honestly think it's like, I really do think it's like 80-20, like 80% of people just instantly, I mean, they just fangirl over you. They just fucking love you. And, you know, I've even had people flat out say, I don't give a fuck what he's done in his past. His fucking music is the best. That's what they say, right? Mm-hmm. That's not always even the first thing out of their mouth. It's like, okay, me as a Patriots fan, I always have to justify why I'm a Patriots fan, right? but like you got people who, some feel like they do have to justify, like, why they are a fan of you. And the thing is like, they shouldn't have to justify. They should realize that, you know, this is the path that you're on.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things are rumors, are incorrect. Don't read everything you read on the internet.
Just know there's two sides to every story.
That's never going to change. There's always going to be two sides to a story, 100%.
Yeah, more lovely cliche quotes.
Yeah.
But for real, there is two sides to every story. And I have no problem talking about, you know, mine with anyone. You know, if anyone ever wants to come up and talk to me, ask me questions, what really happened, I have no problem talking about it.
I mean, like, don't approach him, like, at a Walmart and ask him about, like, the MacBook shit. You know what I mean? Like, maybe find... I mean,
you could probably do that. I'd probably laugh, because, you know.
Okay, but the MacBook thing's funny.
It's funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah,
but,
it's...
Hey, just to clarify, too, every single person got their money back. I just want everyone to know, so the listeners,
yes,
you know, if you haven't ever heard that story, all those people did get paid back. It wasn't like, you know, all those people were out of $31,000. They all got their money back. And I want to thank Rise. I want to thank Craig Erickson for that. You know, he helped me with that, helped me stay out of jail in that situation, him and Eric Rushing. So I want to thank them both. But yeah, they all got their money back. Just want to clarify that.
I'd also like to point out once again that this is why I'm saying don't believe everything on the internet, because you don't find that information. You don't find the good of it. You just find that this is what happened.
Well, everyone always asks, they post, I'll post something, a picture, whatever. They're like, where's my MacBook? Or when am I going to get my MacBook? And I'm just like, probably never, bro. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's what,
I'm still waiting on my MacBook. I'm like, yeah, and you're going to be for quite a while.
You should just start telling people it got lost in the mail. Didn't you get a tracking number? Check your tracking number.
Yeah, bro, you don't even, I don't, I literally said those things. Like,
stop it.
Oh, God. They, you know, like I said, they're hitting me up. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, what the fuck else am I supposed to
I'm
do?
I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't get a tracking number. Let me check. I'll call the USPS or whatever. And like I said, 3 weeks later, you know, they're all just finding each other. And it was a mess. It was a mess. The weight of it was crazy. I was just in the van, like, reading all the stuff, like, oh, I'm so fucked.
I'm so fucked
right now. Like, what am I going to do? I was just thinking, like, how am I going to get out of this?
Oh, my gosh. So,
we're not going back into that.
No. The MacBook story is dead, you guys. Like, shut the fuck up. It's not even funny anymore. Okay, it's a little funny. So, I guess with your tour coming up, let's just end this like more on like a brighter note, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm really interested about your tour and with are you doing a certain album? Are you doing a certain like?
Yeah, like we said, we talked already. The Slave stuff. I'm gonna do a drop a single with that. Obviously, I'm working on solo stuff. I'll always be working on solo stuff. You know, in the background, working right now on a project with a bunch of dudes. It's called You Fail Me. And it's just like...
That's the project name?
Yeah. And it's like four or five singers. And we're all just kind of doing our thing on different songs. We just feature each other on different songs.
Oh, I like that.
You know, it's not instrument-based. So
it's all a cappella?
No, I mean, there's beats. There's beats and stuff.
Yeah.
We got some nice beats. But it's not like band oriented, I guess you should say. You know, there's not people playing guitars and bass and drums and stuff like that. We're all singers and we're just singing over beats. But hopefully we'll be able to put that out soon. Well, we got like, I think we have like 20 songs or something like that. Something crazy. But.
And your latest single is Tape 6?
Yeah, I did a little mixtape thing. And that's the only one that's on Spotify right now. It was a special thing. So it was a bundle and you bought it and it was on like a little tape cassette and you flipped it out and it was a USB and you plugged the USB in and those were the songs. So that was the only way you could get the songs. And that was kind of the one that we put on Spotify. The rest will be on Spotify, but you know, those people paid to have those exclusive songs.
That's what I'm saying. So we're going to give
that to them for a little while before we put them on Spotify.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're already leaked on the internet. People putting them on YouTube and...
Oh, shit, right? Yeah, because they got...
It's inevitable.
It's not a fucking USB drive.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
Okay.
But we're not going to put it up out of respect for the people that bought that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
For a little bit.
So, where is all of your music located? Like...
Spotify, Apple Music, you can get it all. It's all over the place. Anything that plays music, I'm on it.
Okay. And then... So right now,
when you type in Johnny, I'm the second Johnny that comes up.
What?
Right under Johnny Cash.
I don't know, man.
J-O-N-N-Y, yeah.
Oh, shit. You're right. Johnny Cash is first.
Thank you. I'm taking a bow right now.
I mean, yeah. Thank you. That's a nice flex.
Is it not? I feel like that is a nice flex.
I think that's a nice flex.
Out of all the Johnnies in the world, I pop up the second one out of that's Johnny Cash.
That's the one you pop up.
Woo-wee.
So,
Mommy, I made it.
So, because you have just like all these like previous bands and stuff, I just want people to know, like, all right, so on all platforms, Johnny Craig, that's going to be your like solo stuff. Is that like your most current stuff then?
On like the Spotify and stuff?
Yeah.
Yes. The latest album I put out for my solo stuff is called The Places Will Never Be. It's a full album. I'm still playing it live. I'm playing the songs on this tour coming up. So if you guys want to check it out, please do. The Places Will Never Be.
So one of the, I just found it. So one of the songs that I've been listening to, I just think it's so weird, dude, because I guess I've been listening to you for a while. But I listened to you on a lot of featured stuff.
Yeah.
I Met You in the Summer. That's the one that...
Yeah, I like the song. I did that when I was in L.A.
That is with the 12th Human?
Yep.
So I guess that's another thing real quick is that you have a lot of music out there mm-hmm. that you are a part of.
Yeah.
But you're hella featured on a lot of different arrays. So I'm just curious on like if people are interested in listening to songs that you've done collaborative work on, like how do you find that?
Google. Just Google feature Johnny Craig. There's a lot of them. It's weird as like a lot of singers, you know, they won't feature on songs. They're really picky about whatever. And it's like a band will come to me and, you know, they're not the biggest band. They don't sound the greatest, but, you know, they want to pay me to be on their song. And I like that. I want to be a part of, you know, kids trying to work on music, trying to do what we're doing. Like, I'm all for that. So if you want to pay me to be on your song, I will be on your song because I want to be a part of you, you know, moving forward, of you kind of getting into that. I think that's fucking cool, you know, and I've always thought that. So I never understood why singers like, no, I'm not going to sing on this. You know, this band's not, I don't give a fuck. You know, I will sing on anything you put in front of me.
And right now you have 111,000 plus monthly listeners on Spotify. Yeah. I don't look at any other platforms because I don't use any other platforms. So just
what's the number?
111,000 plus. Do you want me to get you your exact?
Oh shit! I don't know. I've never actually looked at it.
How do you not? I'm sorry, but like, okay.
Oh.
I was like, what was that?
Sorry.
I think that like kind of makes me like a brat, by the way, just because I've been in the industry so long. The second someone tells me they have a band, I'm like, can I find you on Spotify? And then if I can, the first thing I do is look at how many monthly listeners they they have, shit. And I just like, huh?
That's our measurement of worth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but like there's some people who are like, yeah, and they have like literally two monthly listeners. And I'm like, well, so you're like almost a band, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but like your friends aren't even listening to you yet. That means like you're just starting out.
Damn.
That's what I'm assuming.
I was just looking at the songs and with the most plays. The most plays I got is Back to Life. Back to Life with Tillian. 5 million.
Nice.
5 million, 5.5. That's the most.
It's actually close to, yeah.
I Still Feel It Part 3 is almost up there. That's crazy. I never really looked at this. Look how, damn.
Well, you should. I always look at this shit, dude.
Does it show every single song that you put out, like what the number is?
So you can actually.
I try not to look at this stuff. I mean, it's not probably
you,
not very good
do you
to look
have,
at it.
Do you have the app Spotify for Artists? The Spotify for Artists app? Do you have the Spotify for Artists app?
Absolutely.
I think I did have it.
I don't know if you make music. I
had it on the last. Okay. I had it on my last phone, but I don't have it on this phone.
Okay, the Spotify for Artists apps. That's what's going to give you the rundown of like every song. But this,
I know Shan has it logged in for me and stuff.
Yeah,
I just
the playlist you're on.
Okay.
Yeah, so that way, you can see if you've like been on a playlist and stuff.
Because doesn't it show you like
shows you everything
at the end of the year or whatever that thing where it shows you like, oh, you got all these million listeners. Remember I posted
it shows
something.
How many people
Oh, and what? And you know what's even more fun? Hey, can you pull up your Spotify for Artists app? Can I see it?
Don't look
six,
at his nudes.
Six people. Yeah, six people out. Listening now. Six people are listening to A Foreign Affair right now.
No, that's 600. 600
now
people.
Now it's five. No,
hold up. I'm about to go listen right now. But it shows you in real time?
It shows you in real
wow.
time.
When we first released it, it was like 500, 600.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's a
that's pretty cool.
And that's the thing, too, is that...
I wonder how many people are listening right now.
That's just that one song that it's showing you, right?
It's just like the most recent release single. It'll show you in real time.
In real time who's listening. So, yeah. So that's another thing. I'm just... clarifying, you guys, that was a single that was dropped. Obviously, when they first come out, the listeners now are bumping. And I think that I just wanted to ask you, even though I guess I just kind of like blew your mind with all this info.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I sort of had like a inkling about all that stuff, but I never really looked at it too much.
No, it's they're cool stats to look at. But yeah, don't drown yourself in the stats because also that's just one platform, right? Like
yeah.
That's and I unfortunately know a lot of people who don't use Spotify. And I'm sorry, but then it's a bitch when I try and send them songs, and they got to find it on their fucking Apple Music. A lot of people use Apple Music. So, also sorry for talking shit about Apple Music. I'm on their platform.
I got nothing against Apple Music. Just want to throw that out there. Johnny, I am great. On it. Maybe you could pay me a little more. That'd be tight.
Yeah. if you could just throw that out there. So shout out to Apple Music. Thanks for letting me be on your platform.
Yes, sir. yes, sir.
With now that you know what your monthly listeners are.
Yes. It's pretty cool.
Which, you know, I know it's not the ultimate goal, okay? But let's not, like, pretend that it's not.
It's 100,000
people. 111,000
people listening to me every month. That's tight.
Okay, but listen to this. Last month, it was the same because we were going to do our interview last month.
Yeah.
And I checked all your stats last month.
Yeah.
So you consistently have that many people listening monthly.
I stay lit.
So I just want to know real quick if you have a personal goal on that number.
No, I'm just happy that people are listening to my music. You know, as stupid as it sounds, it could be fucking one person or it could, you know, be 111,000 people. That's pretty cool to me.
That's pretty tight.
Like 111,000 people listened to what I said on a song that I recorded 10 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's wild to me. It's cool. I am honored.
Okay, do you?
Holy shit, I'm humbled. This is the first time I've ever been humble.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I better get out of here quick.
okay, so then just final note, anything you want your fans and listeners to know about you or your music?
No, not really. I just want to thank you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this. You know, thank you for hearing me out on, you know, what I had to say. I know we didn't get into too much detail, but, you know, I know that probably never going to be able to do that and get into detail and stuff like that. So I just want to thank people for hearing me out. I want to thank you, all 111,000 people, for listening to me monthly. That's amazing. Just if you guys have the time, please check out my Instagram. I have the tour flyers posted. If you guys want to come see me, I'm doing a little run, 9 shows on the East Coast, starting in Cambridge, Massachusetts, pretty much Boston, on November 30th. So if you guys want to just take the time, please go to my Instagram and check that out. And, of course, listen to my music, Spotify, Apple Music, everything, all that. New music coming soon. Again, just thank you guys. That's all I want to say is thank you.